Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 196 of CJ Evolution, knocking on the door of 200, all because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Pat Fitzgibbons here, host and creator, whatever you are doing, wherever you are at, thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to all those brave men and women who work in the criminal justice field. We would not have this great country if it wasn't for you putting it all on the line every day, all the time. Thank you so much for what you do. You have much support. You know, folks, I am very excited. I told you before, I am partnered up with Four Sigmatic. This is an amazing company that produces amazing products, most notably their mushroom coffee. You might be thinking, mushroom coffee? Trust me, it tastes amazing. If you head over to cjevolution.com and you see that link to Four Sigmatic, you're going to get 15% off of all the products you purchase using the promo code CJEVO. So head over to cjevolution.com and see what mushrooms can do for you. On to the show. You know, here at CJ Evolution, we love having guests that offer different opinions. My next guest, Ruben Pacheco, offers a different opinion on how to handle police misconduct. He suggests that police officers around the country should hold their own liability insurance. Now, the reason he has this, and he's going to talk about it, is he believes that the taxpayer shouldn't be on the hook for an officer's misconduct. So I hope you enjoy this show with Ruben Pacheco. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on. He is Ruben Pacheco. Ruben, are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Thank you for being on the show. Now, I gave a brief intro of you, sir. Can you fill in the gaps?
Of course. Thanks for having me, Patrick. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
So I'm a policy analyst here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've been doing policy analysis and research and writing for probably about 7 years now. My areas of interest are criminal justice, American Indian federal policy is one big area also, and immigration policy.
Well, cool. And I know you're busy. You wrote an interesting article recently in the Las Cruces Sun-Times about police liability and holding police more accountable. Can you talk about that article, Ruben?
Yeah, of course. So the basic premise of this idea is, to me, upholding the rule of law. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to ensure that the laws are enforced equally, regardless of whether or not a person is wearing a badge. Mm-hmm. And so the definition of the rule of law that I'm the most fond of is from F.A. Hayek. And he says that government in all its actions must be bound by rules fixed and announced beforehand. Mm-hmm. And failure to have those stable rules would leave us to what Hayek called arbitrary government. And if we have an arbitrary government, then we're not free, if Hayek is correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you talk about the actual case that you cited in your article? And I'll have it linked up in the show notes for those of you listeners out there. It's an interesting article that Ruben wrote. Can you talk about the actual facts of the case?
Sure. So in this one situation, this woman was driving across New Mexico, and she was pulled over for speeding. Mm-hmm. And she refused to sign the citation, and she drove away. And so the officer called for backup, and he pulled her over again pretty shortly after. And then kind of like a struggle ensued, and one of her children jumped out of the van, and a pretty hectic situation like ensued after that. And it resulted in the original officer busting her rear window with his baton. And then at this point, she speeds off again. And a different officer who had just arrived on scene fired shots at her van that was full of her and her five children.
Mm-hmm. So one of the children's had exited the van, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
Now, I don't know, did you actually read the police report? I didn't, so I just was interested to know if you had.
I didn't read the police report, but I have seen the video. It's online if anybody is interested in seeing it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty dramatic. Mm-hmm. The driver's name is Oriana Farrell, and if you just Google her name, I'm sure you can find the video.
So I guess my question from a law enforcement perspective, and I don't know if you were thinking about this too, Ruben, is why didn't she just stay on the scene?
That's a good question. I don't know if you're familiar with the policing environment in New Mexico, but as of 2014, the DOJ came to the city of Albuquerque and – did a whole investigation, and they basically found that APD has a pattern and practice of unconstitutional policing. So what I would guess is that she is aware of kind of how unrestrained our police have behaved in recent years here, and she might have just been scared. But she could have also had, you know, drugs on her, or she could have just had any reason to be scared of law enforcement.
Well, and you know, and I am familiar with DOJ coming down to Albuquerque, but still, I mean, I don't think that in itself, and this is just my opinion, that in itself is justification for breaking that police contact. Now, look, right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, nobody likes to get a speeding ticket, but couldn't have all this been averted by simply just staying on the scene? I mean, are police officers wrong sometime? Or are there bad officers out there? Absolutely. I'll be the first one to tell you. But who put her in that situation that, you know, later, was it the officer or was it her?
I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. However, if I were to fire at a van that was speeding away from me, I would be charged with maybe attempted murder, maybe aggravated assault. And all I want is for police to be treated the same way. She wasn't posing a risk to anybody by driving off. She wasn't putting anybody else in danger. But the officer's actions, you know, by discharging his firearm, it did put her in danger and her children. And I think that is contrary to my conception of the rule of law.
Sure. And again, I would argue that she put her kids in that danger. Because how is the officer supposed to know what he or she is dealing with? I mean, how do they know who's in the car? You already have this person who sped off. You know, I mean, she's breaking that contact, correct? So what is – now, you could argue, and I was kind of looking at this, and my first thought, Ruben, to you was and again, we have to remember we're not at the scene. We're not in the officer's shoes. We don't hear or see everything that is going on. But my first thing was, okay, I pull over her for speeding. And I already have all her information, right? Because it's on the citation. It should be. So if she speeds off, my first thought was, okay, well, she sped off. I have her information. So that's one way to look at it, you know, that the officer could have said, well, yeah, I mean, I have her information. We can find her later, right? Or, you know, you don't know, again, what the officer is thinking. Okay, why did this lady sped off? And it sounds like she left a kid, right?
Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, because I thought one of them exited the car or got out or something like that. So, again, it's definitely going to raise that red flag. And any reasonable person would, you know, raise your red flag. And you're right, Ruben. If you were a citizen shooting at a van, yes. But, you know, you're a citizen and then, you know, you got an officer over here. And it definitely it raises the red flag. And, again, I don't know why the officer shot at the vehicle or the van, but maybe he or she saw something. I mean, I have no idea. So I think sometimes we have to be cautious to, you know, to quickly judge. That's just my opinion. Go ahead.
I know, that's fine. No, I agree with you. I don't in any way want to quickly judge the actions of law enforcement. I know that law enforcement have extremely stressful jobs and they are under the microscope all the time, especially in today's environment.
Sure, sure. And rightfully so, Ruben, really quick, rightfully so. I'm going to make it clear that we should be under the microscope. That is, we are held to a higher standard, or we should be, and we should be under the microscope because we have a tremendous responsibility to the public, correct? We have tremendous power. So I agree with you that, you know, we should be under the microscope, but go ahead.
No, that's fine. I totally agree. That officers have a difficult job to do. And since they are watched so much, you know, I can't blame an officer for making a decision in this in the heat of a second. You know, like you mentioned, who knows what's going through his mind? Yeah, who knows what he had saw? All I want, though, is for people to be held responsible regardless of whether they're wearing a police uniform or not. And so another instance that I should mention real quick, this year there is another settlement out-of-court settlement, and this 88-year-old man, his name is Fidencio Duran, he was distraught over his wife's death, and he was walking around his neighborhood with a steak knife, without a shirt, and only wearing one shoe, and he was begging the officers to shoot him. So he was obviously, like, unstable. And so what had happened was after, I think, 90 minutes or so of, like, a standoff, they shot pepper stray balls at him, and they deployed a canine. Mm-hmm. And Fidencio actually died, I think, like a week later. And the coroner or the medical investigator ruled the death a homicide. Mm-hmm. And so if we have a homicide on our hands, how come nobody's being held accountable?
Was this in Mexico, Ruben?
Yes, that was here in Albuquerque. And that was only one out of the three settlements that we've had since December. Mm-hmm. And so go ahead.
Well, what did the – I guess my question is, so if the coroner – it sounds like the coroner ruled it as a homicide. And so mm-hmm. my question is, it should have gone to the district attorney's office, correct? And so what did the district attorney's office – do they bring charges against the officer or the officer – what was the outcome of that?
They didn't. They actually found that all the officers were cleared of any wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the agency completed a criminal investigation into the matter and they turned it over to the DA. Mm-hmm. And they just decided that they're not going to pursue any criminal charges. Mm-hmm. And that gets to another important issue that I bring up in my article, which is this concept of there's prosecutorial immunity and there's mm-hmm. also qualified immunity. Mm-hmm. Qualified immunity is what some policy analysts have called a legal fiction invented by the Supreme Court. And that basically shields state actors from liability if they violate somebody's rights, unless they violate a right that's clearly established. Mm-hmm. And so I use clearly established in like quotation marks, right? And because clearly established is actually a very convoluted and it's a government favoring process. And it usually resulted in no, as in like the right was not clearly established. Mm-hmm. So qualified immunity prevents us from really getting at the rule of law. And I think that's something that we should work on reversing or working around.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of backing up a little bit, and thank you for the information about immunity and different types. But getting back to the gentleman who died, first of all, how do the officers know that he is distraught over his wife's death? We don't know that. Clearly walking around with a steak knife, and I'm assuming it was during the day, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that would alarm anybody, correct? So the officers get there, and it sounds like they've talked to him for a while, and they're trying to defuse the situation. They were there for, you said, what, 60 minutes or something like that, or 90 minutes or something?
I think it was 90, yeah.
So 90 minutes, an hour and a half. So, mm-hmm. Again, I guess... who is putting them? I guess my question is, where does personal accountability come into any of this? Because, I'm a cop, Ruben, and again, I'm not saying that there aren't bad cops out there. We both know mm-hmm. that. But I guess my question is, why don't people just listen to the cops when they tell them to do something? Right, wrong, or indifferent? Because I've seen use of force issues, and we all seen it on the news. And if the cop is clearly wrong, I hope he or she is prosecuted. I hope they're sent to prison. But it seems to me what I've seen in the last couple of years are people just not doing what the cops are telling them, and they're not doing what the police officers are telling them. And the officer might be wrong, mm-hmm. but don't you think that in some cases, maybe some cases people would still be here today if they would just listen to the police officers? But it seems like we're in an era now, maybe we've always been in this era, where people are like, screw it, I'm not going to do what the cop says. I'm not going to do it. And then they do something and something bad happens that, oh, my God, we're not going to blame the person that wasn't listening, but we'll go after the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think that's because we're in an era of pretty heightened tension between police and communities.
I agree.
And I think that people are skeptical of police because they feel that they're above the law. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. It is a personal accountability issue. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's more important than ever to require police to carry liability insurance. Mm-hmm. So I know that you were talking about personal responsibility on behalf of the person who may have gotten shot or whatever, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about personal accountability in terms of the police who actually do unconstitutional policing or use tactics that are unconstitutional mm-hmm. and then are never held account for it.
Well, I agree. And I agree with you that the police officers that are going out there doing, engaging in unconstitutional policing, using excessive force, and it's proven, not to mention, there's a process with this, Ruben, you know that. And I think in this day and age, where police are more under the microscope, and rightfully so, where everything that the police do is scrutinized, and they should, I don't think too many district attorney's offices out there, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm just naive, are going to look the other way if a cop, especially in this day and age where we have cameras everywhere. I don't think, and again, I'm just making an assumption, where I don't think a lot of district attorney's officers are going to look the other way these days and say, well, we're just going to let this cop slide. Not in the political environment we live in, not in the age of, like you said, tensions between the police and the public. So I do think, and I've seen it firsthand, where officers are being held accountable. Now, what I think happens, and again, this is just my opinion, Ruben, and I'll let you, I want to hear what you have to say, where you see a high-profile case, and maybe it goes a certain way, and the police officers, they're not held, maybe they, quote, get off or whatever. I mean, the a district attorney has already looked at that, courts have already looked at that. They found no criminal liability, not in all cases, but some. So I guess my question is, what do you think about that? I mean, I just think that there's a process here, and there is. And from where I'm at least in my opinion, in Colorado, officers are held accountable. And if an officer is doing something wrong or they're engaging in excessive force, at least here in Colorado, we'll be the first one to tell you, we don't want them in our ranks. Get rid of them. But as far as the insurance goes, I think that's interesting because I guess my question to you, Ruben, is who's going to get into law enforcement now if we have to have our own insurance? Now, I know you say doctors and lawyers do, but they make a heck of a lot more money than police officers.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason that I think that insurance is the proper way to go is because I see the world through the lens of incentives. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's beneficial to require insurance for officers because it's going to incentivize better policing on behalf of the department. Mm-hmm. So the department is going to have better use of force policies. The department is going to probably raise its standards for who they hire. Mm-hmm. And police are entrusted with doing such an important job. Mm-hmm. Governments are established to protect our rights. And the law enforcement arm of government shouldn't be violating our rights. That's contrary to its...
Oh, I agree. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I could not agree more, Ruben. But I think we need to be careful, at least in my opinion, that if we see something on TV and we see a use of force, or we see a shooting, to quickly, and I'm not saying you are, but I know a lot of people are, that think this, well, it's the officer's fault. Before even gathering any facts, they see a video on TV and they say, well, the officer's at fault without knowing anything. So mm-hmm. I think we need to be careful with that. Think about it this way. I always use this, or sometimes use this, analogy is, I don't know if you watch football, but you watch football and you see, there's a question whether or not a player is in or out of bounds. I mean, how many angles do they show you? They show 50, 20 angles of was he in, was he in? Officers don't get that benefit. Again, I think it's we just need to be cautious by seeing something at first glance and saying, oh, the officer must be at fault. Now, sometimes the officer is at fault and prosecute mm-hmm. him or her and get rid of him. Mm-hmm. Other times, they're not at fault. So
I do want to speak about one thing you mentioned earlier.
Go ahead.
So it rarely happens that police even make it to court. Most of these settlements happen in pretrial settlements. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like we get to decide or anybody gets to decide, especially a jury. Like nobody gets to decide whether or not this officer's actions were unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Instead, they kind of implicitly say or demonstrate that they were unconstitutional when they do these pretrial settlements. So since December alone, Albuquerque taxpayers have paid out $7.5 million mm-hmm. in these pretrial settlements. I think that money would have been better off in the pockets of officers, mm-hmm. especially if they have to carry their own liability insurance. Mm-hmm. So like you said, well, who's going to be an officer if they have to carry insurance? Mm-hmm. I think that the department should probably carry a lot of the burden of paying that. But if their premiums increase because of ongoing misconduct or frequent misconduct, then they should have to foot that bill. And that's where personal responsibility kind of factors into my equation or my equating of this.
You explained that pretty well, but I would go a step further. And if there's a pattern of misconduct, Ruben, I would hope that the department would see that fairly quickly and get rid of the officer. Instead of the officer, people make mistakes. I guess it depends on what the mistake is. But if we see an ongoing issue with an officer or officers, I mean, the last thing we want to do is, well, first of all, we want to address the issues, right? We just don't want to have him or her keep going out there, mm-hmm. Doing the same things. What is the governor? I know the Susana Martinez, she endorses us. She's all for it.
She's not for the liability insurance. No, she's actually.
Oh, go ahead.
She's actually – so before our session in January, our legislative session in January, mm-hmm. she mentioned how she thinks cops are too scared to do their jobs. And she wants to see the legislature somehow mitigate that fear that police have, mm-hmm. Which basically means she wants them to be held less accountable, which is contrary to my envisioning of what rule of law ought to be.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I misread that. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. And so one thing that really worries me is that with this qualified immunity thing or with just police misconduct in general, mm-hmm. Clark Neely often says this. Think about it from a cop's perspective. If the law says that I'm liable for the deprivation of any rights and this guy sued me for violating his rights, but the judge tossed out the case, well, I must not have violated any rights. So it really just sends the wrong signal to police officers about the proper role of policing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my primary concerns.
Well, and again, I think one of the, I think sometimes you're comparing civil and criminal cases, which I don't think is very right, because the standards of proof are much higher in a criminal case than in a civil case. In a civil case, it's preponderance of the evidence, whereas in a criminal case, it's beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's an interesting topic, Ruben. I don't know if it would, maybe it would work. And, states they can do it locally on, different levels. I don't know if nationally we'd ever come to that. What's wrong with allowing the political process to regulate police misconduct?
Honestly, I would say everything. So we have people like Governor Martinez who thinks that police need to be shielded from accountability. And we also have unfairly strong public sector unions, police unions, mm-hmm. that prevent these bad apples from being fired. And so politics is not a good way to solve it. And that's why I argue that we ought to let the market regulate police misconduct. And we can do that by requiring liability insurance for police. The thing is I don't think police should be held to a lower standard.
And I don't think they are. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, I don't think they should be held to a lower standard. And I think that's why it's so important for the community to see that police are held accountable if they do something unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. And now we just don't see that.
Well, and I agree. I agree with you. Like I said before, I think, I disagree with your what you said about police not being held accountable or to a lower standard. I disagree. I think police are held to a much higher standard, and they should be. And let's not forget that, the bad apples, and I agree with you that there are some bad apples out there, but the overwhelming majority of police officers out there, brave men and women, are just trying to do a difficult job in a difficult environment. No police officer, Ruben, no police officer, I've been doing this for 21 years, and again, there are bad apples out there, so I shouldn't say no, maybe there are some. I would say the majority of police officers out there don't get up in the morning, kiss their wife and kids goodbye. They have a mortgage. They have a family they're trying to raise. No police officer is going out there saying, I'm going to go shoot somebody today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and get into a foot chase, or I'm going to shoot at a van full of kids just for the heck of it. I'm going to put everything on the line, for this. I just don't buy it. And are there bad officers out there? Of course. But again, maybe it's different in Albuquerque and with policing, and it sounds like it is. Sounds like you guys had a lot of problems down there, and maybe it's getting better. I hope it is, but that's not indicative of the entire country.
That's a fair point. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, how has your background in economics and policy helped you form your opinion
on this issue? I think it has to do with incentives, mm-hmm. And really, I don't really believe in human nature or anything mm-hmm. like that. But I do think that humans have a natural propensity to respond to incentives. Uh-huh. And I think that that's why this is a very powerful avenue for us to pursue if we want to actually reform policing in this country. Yeah. Some of these other options are just silly, whether it's disarming the police or abolishing the police or, a lot of the stuff that social justice activists advocate for mm-hmm. are not attainable. But liability insurance is both attainable. It could be politically popular because you know, it's not too divisive towards the left or the right, and it would provide strong incentives for police and departments to practice better policing.
Well, it's interesting. Let me ask you this. Have you approached law enforcement leaders or your local leaders about this idea that you have? I mean, have you gone to the, you know, and talked with some of the police leadership down there where you're at?
No, I haven't. Not on this issue. I've done some talking with like legislators in the past, but never about the liability insurance issue.
And what are they, the people you spoke to in the past, what were their opinions on the liability insurance?
Well, it was in the past, I was doing more general criminal justice stuff, and I've never brought up the police professional liability insurance issue with the person. So
it's interesting. Well, Ruben Pacheco, if people want to reach out to you, sir, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at rpachec4. It's R-P-A-C-H-E-C and then number 4.
And you're part of Young Voices, right?
Yes, I'm an advocate with Young Voices, which is a pro-liberty organization that helps young people get articles published and just kind of build a brand and help set us up for a professional career in policy.
Well, Ruben, I appreciate you coming on, buddy. And again, it's a different opinion, but we like hearing different opinions. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Much success to you in the future, buddy. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it. And thank you for being so respectful. That was awesome.
All right. Thank you, Ruben. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.